everybody. Welcome to the Faith and Fandom podcast. Faith Hector
and
here.
And Vincent.
And we are here, and this is going to be the specifically focused discussion on the Justice League movie of 2017.
We took notes.
I saw it three times in theaters, and I've already written a Faith and Fandom chapter. In fact, it's the first official chapter. Good grief, that's a lot of notes.
I told you, I took notes.
Vincent has a lot of notes. But I actually, the first official chapter I wrote completely for book five.
Oh, wow.
Was Justice League. So I did that. I'm officially writing. And we'll talk about that in the other podcast.
Yeah.
So disclaimer, I am a DC fanboy, and I know that anybody that knows me knows that. Yeah. And, you know, the concept of unbiased when it comes to DC is hard for me to put out. So disclaimer, I'm fully aware that I'm a fanboy, and Vincent's not.
I'm not. I mean, I like DC. I like what it does, but I mean, I'm also kind of a Marvel fanboy at that, because everything Marvel does is amazing.
You're a little more anything not mainstream.
Yeah, I just don't. Yeah, that's true. I like a lot of independent things.
All right, so there's been a lot of hoopla surrounding how Justice League came out, what it's done, and everything else. But I'm going to start out the discussion by saying I like it. I enjoy it.
I enjoyed it completely.
And coming off of Batman versus Superman, it's so far of a step up.
Oh yeah, it was the character. There was character development.
There's character development. And I mean, and you know, I'll just say this. And obviously, this is a spoiler filled thing. So if you haven't watched this and you plan to care, turn now.
Just fast forward a little
bit. You know, whatever else we cover, I just have to say this. The Pet Cemetery scene.
That was so good.
The Pet Cemetery scene is literally not only my favorite scene in that movie, it's my favorite scene in probably, it's of probably one of my favorite scenes, period.
Really?
Yeah, it's just so fun because, you know, here's the deal. I knew Superman was going to come back.
Yeah,
everybody in your mom knew that. I didn't see using a mother box.
I didn't either. I didn't know how he was going to come back.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I didn't know that any of the idea of mixing the mother box with the Kryptonian ship. Yeah. I figured they might employ the Kryptonian ship into it.
As they should.
But especially after they put so much work into establishing the depth of the Kryptonian ship. Because if you think back to Man of Steel,
yeah,
30% of the movie took place in that ship.
Yes.
And you learned that it held all of the DNA Krypton.
Krypton, yeah.
And then after all of that it played in Batman vs. Superman, it made sense.
Yes.
But, you know, I didn't see that. And so from the moment that box hit the water on for the next few minutes, I didn't know what was going to happen.
Really?
I was just like, because I was like, well, knowing who made it, there's a million ways you can go with
that. I was
going to say,
yeah, he, I guess that was the thing. Zack Snyder is a man of, who knows?
Well, and that and the part of the beef with that is, you don't know at what point you're getting Snyder and at what point you're getting Whedon.
That's true.
And so to walk into this, I legit didn't know what to expect. So from that moment when he popped up out of the ship, I was literally on the edge of my seat because I don't know where you're going to go with this.
And that's true because, I mean, with Whedon stories, there's usually someone who dies and no one died.
No one died.
Yet.
And Ultron. No one died in Ultron.
I had to think,
outside of, like, generic extras and civilians, the dude's wife from
I feel like someone died in Ultron.
No main character. And the only main character that died in Avengers was Coulson, and ta-da, he came back with a TV show.
I mean, he was always on the TV show, but
no, but the TV show took place after his death.
No.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
That's a main plot line.
No, but it was between.
No. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started.
Are you sure?
100%. Don't waste your time Googling this now, I promise you. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started, and that was the big secret. When Ward was brought in,
yeah,
Coulson, he's like, welcome to Sector 7. You're alive. And then the whole thing was that they brought him back.
I feel like that was season 2.
No, bro, that's season 1. I didn't watch season 2.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, like, Whedon is known for killing people.
Yes.
But it feels like he's staved off of that.
Well, I mean, in a DC universe, like, no one dies. I mean, you wrote a chapter.
Everyone dies.
Everyone dies, but no one stays dead.
No one stays dead in Marvel either.
No, that's true.
But I didn't know what was going to happen. And I didn't know. I also didn't know if they were going to go, how deep they were going to go with the Rogue Superman. I didn't know how far they were going to take that.
Then the thing is, I already saw fan art of Rogue Superman being, like, bad.
Yeah.
And so I was like, hold on. We don't even know because the movie hasn't even come out yet. How are you already going to make... And the thing is, they made Rogue Superman look like Superboy.
In the fan art?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. And two, like, that could have also, you know, there's that moment in Batman vs. Superman where Flash shows up to Bruce. You were right.
Yeah.
You know, that could have easily...
Yeah.
Been a like, oh snap, you should have killed him. He goes totally bananas. And I mean, there could have also been a red kryptonite factor. Yes. There could have been a million things. So I wasn't, but you know, there's
I don't think he would have did that so soon though.
Huh?
I don't think he would have.
Snyder would.
Yeah.
Snyder would totally do that.
Whedon would not.
Whedon, no. Snyder, yes. Now here's the deal though. Whedon reshot a substantial chunk and rearranged things.
He had to.
Well, not. Yeah. All right, let's stay on Pet Sematary, then we'll get to that.
Sorry.
But with Pet Sematary, like, just the fact of Aquaman, like, he ain't right. And then just when Flash says Pet Sematary, which, by the way, I know we're going to talk about it, but Flash, man.
I liked it.
He was so fun.
He was Ezra
Miller.
A lot of people didn't like him. And I wrote a note. I have notes on that. And I said, where is it?
Ezra Miller, for me, was... on point.
Oh, I agree. And I think I said I really enjoyed the Flash, and I think a lot of people are going to compare, like, the CW Flash.
There's no comparison.
And that's what I said too. I was like, he's not that person. And there, I even when me and Stephanie watched it, she was just like, oh, I think I like the Flash on the CW. I was like, well, you have to remember that we have four seasons of the Flash, and there's character development there of four seasons.
And even the stuff with Barry Allen's dad in those little few moments, those were solid.
Yeah.
By the way, having Dr. Manhattan as Barry's dad, look at you, DC.
Look at y'all. Look at, what are you going to do? I wonder what they're going to do with that.
Well, there should be a Flash movie in, you know. Well, no, I heard the Flash. Oh, we're so off topic. This is still Justice League. But I've heard that the Flash movie is going to be Flashpoint.
That's what I heard, too.
And that would bring in Negan.
Yeah.
As Thomas Wayne and Maggie as Martha. Holy cow. Maggie as Martha the Joker? What in the world? That would be fantastic.
Well, do you think they would go that far into the story, though?
All they would have to do is do like a 20-minute part.
That's true.
You wouldn't spend the whole time there. But just to see... to see Maggie as Martha Wayne Joker. Oh, man. Oh, man. But everybody and their mom needs to see Negan as Batman at some point in their life. That needs to happen. But anyway, I enjoyed the Pet Sematary scene a lot, just in showing just what it looked like to have Superman totally outmatch the league. The little thing of him cutting his eyes at Flash when he was running around, and Flash's response, that was beautiful.
That was awesome. That was beautiful. That was so fun.
Oh, I love that. And then
he's I think, what's his name? Ezra Miller. I've seen him in other things, and he's hilarious.
He was in Fantastic Beasts. Yeah. That's the only other time I really paid attention to
that him. Was so great. And he's in another movie. I forgot what it's called. But it's great too. But he's just a good actor. And the thing is, he's really not that young. He just doesn't age.
Yeah, he's not that young. He just looks young. But with that, and you know, that headbutt he put on Wonder Woman, where he like levitated up, and I was like, oh, he did that. It was just such a beautiful scene. And and then, you know, of course, when Bruce stepped into the picture, you know, and like he's like, I remember you. And I'm like, oh, God, what's about to happen?
That's what I thought, too.
That's what I'm saying is that that's why it's my favorite scene, because I straight up, everything else was remotely predictable.
Yes.
I didn't know where they were going to go with everything, with that scene. And you know, just that whole deal of, like, you wouldn't let me live, you won't let me die.
You won't let me die, you won't let me live. I was like, dang. You're right.
He's like, and the world needs you, but does it need you? And he's like, but then, bro, then he went and flexed on him and did the, do you bleed?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I want to do a little slow clap in the theater.
Yeah. I think there are so many moments that if you're not, like, a huge nerd, that you're just like, eh. But for me, I was like, this is fantastic. It was so much better than Batman vs. Superman.
Now, here's the deal. I could firmly still enjoy Batman vs. Superman.
I need to watch it again.
Now, if you do watch it again, watch the director's cut.
Okay.
It's better.
That's what,
it's,
okay.
It's not, I'm not saying it's going to fix everything.
No.
But, and I think that's the heart, because just like, I feel like you can pinpoint and you can point, this is Whedon, this is Snyder.
Yes.
Because like, after, and I, you know, the fact that Lois came in and was the what toned Superman down, that made me happy.
Yeah.
But when
that was a Whedon move right there.
I'm pretty sure that was standard.
Okay.
Because if you think about the way, if he'll flip out over Martha, he'll flip out over Lois. I'm pretty sure that's accurate. I'm pretty sure that's Snyder in general. But you know, just the fact of Batman, like, rolling on the ground, something's definitely bleeding. Like, that's Whedon. Like, I guarantee they went back, filmed that scene, and said, added that. But that was my favorite thing, and just that and the Aquaman Lasso of Truth scene.
That was great. Aquaman,
Go ahead.
Right. Jason Momoa.
Speak on it.
My gosh. My wife just melted in her seat when he came out of the water and was like, and I said, hold on. But yeah, Aquaman was absolutely fantastic. Jason Momoa could not have played a better role.
Which is so funny that they named Blake Shelton Sexiest Man Alive.
I know. And then you look at that and you're like, come on now. Come on. But yeah, I like his sarcastic tone. I put another word in here too that I can't say. And I like that he explained his power, because I think a lot of people don't realize what Aquaman can do. Because even Batman was like, "You talk to fish?
Do you talk to fish?"
He's like, "No."
Well, and that's one of the things too, is like, there was a lot more Aquaman stuff filmed.
Yes,
and even Willem Dafoe was in it, bro.
Really?
Willem Dafoe filmed a full in-costume underwater scene as, like, the leader of Atlantis.
And see, that's, I'd also put that, too. I said, I wish we had saw a little bit more of what we were getting in the next movie.
They filmed all this stuff, and Momoa said he doesn't care that it didn't make it into this version.
Yeah.
Because it's all going to be in his movie.
Yeah.
So, his movie's getting made. And I don't know if you know, but his movie's being made by the dude that made Saw.
The original Saw?
Yeah.
Oh.
James Wan, I believe?
Yeah.
He's making the Aquaman movie.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Right? It's going to be dark.
Because that first Saw, that... I don't mind horror. I'm not scared of anything. But like
Skirt?
I ain't scared. But that was just like... It made my skin crawl.
Yeah. And I have a feeling... But... Either way, I think they're going to do good things with it. But, you know, I'll say this. I feel like Cyborg got gypped.
I said that too.
I feel like Cyborg got gypped. Now, here's the deal. He gave a solid performance.
Oh, yes. Ray Fisher was great.
If you've played the games or watched stuff or read stuff, I mean, he gave a solid.
Yeah.
He's a better Cyborg than Chris Hemsworth is Thor.
Agreed. Completely.
Because Chris Hemsworth looks like him.
That's it.
But the personality, like, this was straight out of, you know, and with the booyah, if you play Injustice. Yeah.
Booyah!
I mean, my kids flipped out.
Yes. It was, I think, especially with the, like, Injustice, Teen Titans Go, even, like, Teen Titans Go, which I despise. Like, that was, he bought out that personality of, like, Cyborg being funny and serious at the same time.
Which, again, is what Whedon brought to it. Because there was a lot of backstory where we would have seen Cyborg die. We would have seen...
And I think there was even, like, previews for that.
Yeah, and you see him in the football outfit. Yeah, and they cut all that.
They cut all of... Okay.
Now, here's the deal. The movie was originally 250. 2 hours and 50 minutes.
I would have saw that. I could have... I didn't want a longer movie, but it was... It didn't feel like it was... It felt like it was done. But it wasn't... I wanted more.
Yeah, and you want, and that's the thing. I think we would have had more, but the and we'll go ahead and transition into the, you know, just talking about the different edits and directors and stuff. What they saw with Whedon, with Snyder's version, made them uncomfortable because it went darker. You would have seen less humor, less smiles. Yeah. Pretty much, if any point made you laugh, that's Whedon.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Here's the deal. I enjoy the movie. It's one of my favorite superhero movies. I watched it 3 times in theaters. I'll buy the DVD. And I think we've come to a point, and I know we're, I said what we're talking about, just to shift for a second. We've come to a society point where you're not allowed to like a DC movie.
This is true.
Like, you are crapped on by society at large.
Yeah.
If you actually say you enjoy a DC movie.
I think everyone compares DC and Marvel to each other. Excuse me, as they would naturally, but, like, you have to remember DC started out, I mean, Marvel started out way before DC.
2008 ever. Was the beginning of the MCU.
Yeah, like, you had Iron Man.
And we've had 4 movies. We've had Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Wonder Woman, and this.
Yeah, and I think what they were, people were trying to do, and I did it too, I blame myself, as well as, like, they compared the Bruce Wayne, I mean, the, not Bruce Wayne. What's that man's name?
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale to other man.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. Yeah.
Now here's the deal. I enjoy Affleck as Batman.
I enjoy him in this movie.
Now I can't. You can't blame. I think his performance is solid. You can't blame what they write. And you know, I think what I didn't enjoy about Batman and the other one was based on what Snyder was written. And now here's the deal, that I also come from a house of DC where I read all the alternative versions and where you read the ones where Batman's dark and twisty.
Yes.
And
yes.
And so literally watching that was nothing out of the ordinary for me. Was it my standard Batman?
And no, I see. I think that was, that wasn't the case for me. I think performance wise, I had to, I only watched Batman versus Superman once, and I should have watched it more than once, but I couldn't, it was rough. But I think this Batman was a lot better. Like that he smiled and he joked around and he was,
which, and that's funny. The thing, people, and that's where we're at with the different directors, is there are people that are beefing that Batman's happy. And here's the deal, that I don't think there has been a perfect depiction of Batman, period, on screen.
Oh, no.
You know the only perfect depiction of Batman?
Animated series?
Yep. Batman the Animated Series, Kevin Conroy. I would say
that was the best one.
And I don't think anyone else has come close to it.
Nope.
Because that's had the detective. That's had the warrior.
Yeah.
That's had the humor. Yeah. That's had that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's as close as you get. And now here's the deal, that Kevin Conroy said, which the Animated Series Batman.
Yes.
Kevin Conroy said his favorite's Affleck.
Really?
Yeah. And for Batman, the real Batman to say, for the real Batman to say his favorite is Affleck, that makes me question my life. He said that's his favorite. Now, but
I have to go watch everything all over again now.
which, and two, Batman did have that small appearance in Suicide Squad.
We're not going to talk about that movie.
It was fun. It just had a horrible villain comp issue.
Dude, just,
anyway, Justice League. All right. Because we try to keep these special edition ones halftime. But I feel like the problem is the studio didn't back the vision of the director.
No.
Now, and here's the deal. They shouldn't have hired Zack Snyder.
Again.
Well, the thing I was doing research on this morning, they wanted to fire Snyder immediately after Batman vs. Superman.
But while they
started filming Justice League while it was still in theaters.
Oh, they did. They did.
And so.
That wasn't smart.
And which gave them no time.
No.
And if to fire a director midstream is expensive.
Yeah. And you still got to pay him.
Yeah. And part of me feels like they used the whole your daughter committed suicide thing as a push out. Like, this is our opportunity to lean on him and do it. But I feel like, I just feel like that we got the best that we could have gotten out of the situation.
Yes. And that's the thing. I don't blame any of the actors. I don't blame any of the, like, anything. I do have a problem with whoever designed the new Wonder Woman outfits. Did you see that?
What, the Amazons?
Yeah.
Now, here's the deal. Wonder Woman's outfit was about the same.
Yeah. The Amazon outfits? Why? What's the point?
Because it was Zack Snyder.
Okay. But come on now.
It was Zack Snyder.
You don't need to be doing all that. That's too much. Wonder Woman, like, the outfit in the movie Wonder Woman was great. Fine. You don't need to change your outfits because you want to show. And we understand they're all buff. We know that.
Well,
we know that.
Part of it, you know, I'm always the defender of everything.
Yes,
it's my.
As I break it down. He defends it.
As Tyrion stated, I have a special place in my heart for cripples, illegitimate children, and broken things.
This is accurate.
But they, you know, part of me just wants to think they used what they had around, because think about it with the actual Amazons from Wonder Woman. They didn't have all those costumes on hand.
No.
And it's not like they could just grab them because they were kind of overlapping.
Yeah, with the movies.
With the movies. And also to the point that most of those women were CGI anyway.
Really?
In like the big battles and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So you literally had like 8 or 9 people, and I think he was just trying to make them memorable, but it wasn't necessary.
No.
But either way, I mean,
some clothes on some people.
Now, but here's my problem. They shouldn't have hired Snyder if they didn't want a Snyder movie. Now, I love Man of Steel, and I'll defend Man of Steel.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
To the death.
Now, I loved Man of Steel.
But if you wanted a lighter tone, you needed to make something. And if you want to make a lighter tone, and you want to make something more publicly acceptable, you shouldn't have gone with Batman versus Superman. You should have gone with Batman and Superman. And
Superman, yeah.
And had something to the effect where they were both going after the same
villain.
Or they were forced to cross over and they don't like each other, but not that he was trying to kill him. The big thing is they were trying to play off of Batman, or the Dark Knight Strikes Back.
Okay.
Like, they're trying so hard to play off of that. And when they first announced that, they actually read the iconic speech from that movie.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that's not what you need to play off of.
No.
You needed to play off of Lex Luthor gets some red kryptonite for a minute. Or you need to play off of, I mean, even in Hush, man. In Hush, Poison Ivy got a hold of Superman for a minute, and he threw Lois off of a rooftop to get her attention.
Exactly.
There's so many other directions. And yes, we had a misstep with that. Now, here's the deal, though. Whedon stated back when he was directing, or even before Avengers, if he ever directed Justice League, now, this was before that was ever an option, that he wouldn't even put Batman in the movie.
I wouldn't either.
In Justice League?
Yeah.
You would have Justice League without Batman?
Yes.
Why?
Because I think Batman's not necessary by himself. I think we need a break from Batman.
Batman is the linchpin, dude.
Like, I understand that, but I think for movie-wise and people who like movies, and not us, not for the nerdy comic book people, I'm talking about the people who are going to go see these movies and not read any comic books at all, and then have conversations about comic book movies. I'm talking about, like, my friends.
You realize how long it's been since we've had a Batman movie,
but still people are comparing.
At least they give more time than Spider-Man.
This is true. But, I mean, people dismiss Spider-Man like that, because it's not even, people don't even take him seriously anymore. But, I mean, Homecoming was amazing.
Homecoming was, but what I'm saying is this, like, Whedon wouldn't have put Batman in. And so, I think we got a really crap version when you had the dark end of the spectrum with Snyder. Because one of the things that they were going to do, some of the things that I've read up on, is that Batman was going to be suicidal the whole movie.
What?
Because he felt the blame for Superman dying, so he was going to make sure that he died in battle.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad they didn't do that. I would have been so mad.
He was going to be emo sad Batman the whole time.
I would
have
been so mad. I would have left. I would have left the theater.
But you remember back with Batman vs. Superman when they were reading the reviews and stuff, and they had that sad Batman thing where, like, Sound of Silence was playing over. Part of me thinks that he already knew where the direction was going, and he's like, oh, crap, this isn't going to get any better. Because he knew what was coming.
I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he wanted to quit.
Yeah.
On several occasions.
He probably still might.
He shouldn't.
He shouldn't.
No.
We should at least get a solo Batman movie and then let him pass the torch to Nightwing to be Batman or something. Or, you know, use Flashpoint. Here's the deal. If you push up Flashpoint.
Ooh. You can do so much with that.
Push up Flashpoint and let that be your reboot.
And
because you push up Flashpoint, you could throw in a different Batman at the end of it and actually have a purpose.
I feel like you would have to throw in another different character, though. Like, you would have to get rid of one.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if his actions change, if he changes reality, you could once you put reality back, it could be a different Bruce.
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel like we got that. But I think if we would have gotten a purely Whedon moment, or purely Whedon Justice League movie, because think about it. Avengers and Age of Ultron.
That was amazing. Both of those movies were amazing.
Ultron was garbage.
I liked it.
Ultron was garbage.
I liked it.
Ultron was pointless, mechanics. It was a bad episode of Justice League Unlimited without the Justice League.
The Justice League isn't, isn't it?
Right. It was a bad episode of Justice League. You had a generic robot bad guy that wanted to destroy the world by crashing a meteor too. That was garbage.
Yeah.
That was garbage.
So that happens. I think with that, I think they should have went with the Sentinels.
They couldn't.
Why?
Legally.
Oh, see, and that's the thing. Like, I don't know all the legal stuff that they can do and they can't do.
They can't touch that.
That's Fox, right?
Which they were already cheesing off Fox by using Scarlet Witch. Mm-hmm. And which, they keep in mind, they're not mutants.
No.
They got their power from the Tesseract.
Yep. which is ridiculous. Because you just ruined all the story.
What else did you have that you wanted to share?
I talked about the preview with Legions of Doom and Slade Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Now, one of the scenes that got cut, too, was that halfway through the movie, Deathstroke would have broke Luthor out of Arkham.
See, they should have done that.
Yeah, they should have. And you know what? Seeing Jesse Eisenberg bald on a yacht doing that made me a little more like, okay, I can deal with this.
I knew he was going to be he's a great actor.
Right, and what I understand his take, and I understand why people don't like his take, but I don't think he did bad at it. I just don't think they like that version.
And see, that, I liked that version of Luthor.
Putting a Jolly Rancher in the senator's mouth.
I feel like Luthor would do something like that. Like,
which, by the way, he shines so much better on the director's cut.
Does he?
Luthor? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
I might buy that. I'll watch it first.
The director's cuts.
Watch it.
It explains the Superman stuff at the beginning in the desert much better. You see that it was a straight-up Luthor setup to frame Superman. Right? Well, that's the problem.
Little things.
Little things, which is when they don't... When you hire a director to tell a story, you have to trust their vision. If you don't trust their vision, you're micromanaging what they're going to do, and you're going to end up losing some stuff.
Yes.
Now, here's the deal. I wouldn't want a purely Whedon-written Justice League. Maybe I would if they were starting from scratch. Because you could tell...
I don't feel like Whedon can get as dark as I want him to get with certain things. I don't know. I haven't seen anything dark from Whedon in a while.
And I think he's been in such of a dark place himself.
Yeah.
Because Serenity is the last dark thing he's done. And that's important with that. But, you know, one of the things, too, that I don't know if you saw, but... You remember the homeless dude at the beginning of the movie when they passed by in the montage of that song Everybody Knows? Like, after when it's going through the Superman's Dead intro?
Yes.
They pass a homeless dude. Do you remember what was on his sign?
No.
There's a homeless dude sitting on the streets of Metropolis or wherever, and he's got a sign that says, I tried.
I do remember that. Yeah.
Okay. That's Whedon.
Oh.
Not physically Whedon, but the I tried sign was hit. That's his that's his message
to us. That's so rude.
It is so rude.
That's super shady. I would be so mad.
So, that sign at the beginning of the movie is him saying,
oh my gosh.
That's saying him, I look y'all, I did my best. Because that's something he added.
That's
So.
Hands off, hats off to you, Eden, for throwing the most shade in a movie.
Dark side of the moon status.
Exactly.
So, here's the deal. I understand. It's okay, let's ask this. Why do you think it didn't make so much money?
People compared it to Batman versus Superman. I don't think a lot of people enjoyed Wonder Woman.
No. Now, here's the deal. Wonder Woman made bank.
Did it?
Way bank.
Oh.
Like, almost the Dark Knight bank.
Oh.
Yeah.
because I can see that. Because I think my mom wanted to go see Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Wonder Woman did fine at the box office. Now, here's the deal. I think it might have the residual stank of Batman versus Superman attached to it.
Yes. I think that's why I watched it and I was like, oh, okay. I didn't love it.
What?
Wonder Woman.
No, not Wonder Woman. I'm talking about Justice League.
Oh, yes. I think it did. Yes.
I think it had the residual Batman versus Superman stank attached to it.
But I think if people don't look at it as that, because, I mean, a lot of people enjoyed Thor Ragnarok, but and they're like, oh, there wasn't a bad Marvel movie, and I'm like, there's been several bad Marvel movies, and Thor 2 was one of them.
Thor 2 was horrible.
Garbage.
Now, here's the deal. Currently, Justice League has made $569 million.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. Now, any other movie that makes $500 million.
Oh, yeah.
That's, you know, money in the bank. Wonder Woman made $821 million.
Thanks.
So, Wonder Woman made $300 million more.
I mean, how much did they spend on... I mean, they probably spent more money on Justice League.
They spent more money on Justice League, and not only did they spend more money on Justice League... They spent more money on reshoots afterwards.
Okay. Yeah, oh yeah.
Because they had to go in and spend... Thor Ragnarok made $800 million.
What?
Yeah. See? That's garbage.
I mean, I liked it, but it wasn't 800 million likes.
No. It wasn't. Now, here it made... It's the 10th highest grossing movie of the year. So, now here's the deal. To make it in the top 10 highest grossing films isn't the worst of a year.
Which one?
Justice League is the 10th highest grossing.
Oh. Okay.
That's not the worst.
No.
But when you have a commodity like Justice League, that should be your money in the bank.
Yeah, that should be the top five.
That should be your best thing. So, the top highest grossing film of the year... and these are just domestic grosses. So just with in America, not worldwide.
America.
In America. Beauty and the Beast was the number one highest grossing.
What?
Just domestically.
I have a friend that saw it 14 times, so I understand.
Wonder Woman is number two. Domestically.
What?
Guardians of the Galaxy is number three.
What?
Spider-Man is four.
Okay.
It is five.
I didn't see that.
I loved it. Thor is six.
What?
Yeah. America, what are you doing? No, but wait.
I'm moving to Mexico.
Number seven is Despicable Me 3.
I didn't see that one, surprisingly, because I love Despicable Me.
Logan. The Fate of the Furious. The Fate of the Furious in Justice League. Now, here's the deal.
Fate of the Furious?
Yeah.
What is that?
The Fast Furious.
Oh, gosh.
It's Fast and Furious 8.
Fucker, you have 8 movies.
Wow. Beauty and the Beast made $1,263,000,000.
Oh, yeah. Girls went crazy.
Anyway, we're going to get off of here with Justice League. And I know it wasn't what Warner Brothers wanted. It wasn't what a lot of other people wanted. But, you know, you know that little meme of where the dude's, like, pinching his fingers over somebody's lip saying, shh, let people enjoy things? Yes. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it,
too. It's the most fun DC movie out of the DCEU.
Oh, of course. Oh, Flash is going to be amazing.
Oh, Flash is going to be amazing.
I hope they choose a good director.
And Aquaman's going to be good. Now, and, you know, I don't want this to cause trouble for Zachary Levi's Captain America, or Shazam.
I don't know where he plays in there.
What?
Where is Shazam playing in this story?
I don't think he even has to, but it's a DC movie. And I don't want him to get the crap into the stick.
I want him to get a good director.
Yeah. But, so, these are our thoughts on Justice League. I enjoy it. If I were to numerically put it, I'd put it a 7.5 to 8.
I agree.
I gave Batman vs. Superman a 6 to 6.5.
I gave that a 5.
Okay. But either way, this is a step up highly. And I enjoy Justice League. So, if you're on the fence and you haven't checked it out, go check it out.
Please.
Just love on DC.
It was good. My wife enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed it. Everyone I know who saw it enjoyed it.
So, that's our thoughts on Justice League. But seriously, hit us up. Tell us what you think. Feel free to comment, and we would love to hear from you. Thanks.